Welcome back to Insight on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Today is Larry Itliong Day, a Filipino activist and farm worker who is equally as important to the labor rights movement as Cesar Chavez and Dolores Huerta. Yet, this extraordinary leader is often left out of history books. The Filipino activist worked diligently to form unions, set strikes, and advocate for senior housing for farm workers. Larry Itliong's journey is just one part of the overall Filipino-American experience, but an important part of not only Filipino history, but to American history. To discuss more about the mass migration and work of Filipinos like Larry Itliong, we're joined by Filipino-American scholar and Bulosan Center affiliate curator Manny De Leon. Manny, thanks for joining us.
Hi, good morning. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, let's start with the Bulosan Center for Filipino Studies at UC Davis. How long has it been around?
The Bulosan Center for Davis is very recent. It's only been here for less than 10 years, and it's the first and only recognized Fil-Am studies research center in the UCs.
Well, that is incredible. I mean, this whole conversation started because it's Larry Itliong Day, It's also Filipino-American History Month. Where did this month and the celebration and acknowledgement begin?
Yeah, so academics and scholars in the community has recognized October as Fil-Am History Month specifically because of the numerous significance on October, specifically Larry Itliong's birthday, which is today, which is why we celebrate it. But also has been recognized federally by President Barack Obama and this year again by President Joe Biden.
You know, Larry was part of a mass migration of Filipinos to California. Give us a background of what led Filipinos to settling in the Central Valley.
Yeah. So when the Philippines became a U.S. protectorate in the 20s and 30s, a mass migration of Filipino Manongs, which is an Ilocano word for older brother or older man, came to the Philippines to work en masse in Hawaii, in California, and throughout the West Coast. And a lot of them really settled in the major growing areas such as the Central Coast.
When you talk about this generation, the older generation, help us understand their contribution and the challenges they faced.
Yeah, so when a lot of these migrant workers came here to the States, they really came here to fill in a lot of these labor jobs that weren't being met because of Asian American exclusion during this time. And so they came in to work for a short time and temporarily go back home to the Philippines and support their families. But because of either anti-Asian rhetoric or more outright xenophobic hate, a lot of these folks weren't able to really settle or face a lot of obstacles trying to adapt and work here in the States.
When it comes to Larry Itliong, born in the Philippines, migrated to the United States, can you tell us about his drive, his motivation to make the daunting trip and where he bounced around before ending up in Delano?
Yeah, of course. So most of these Manongs who came here to not just work and provide for their families, but they also wanted the opportunities to get an education. Larry himself wanted to become a lawyer and advocate for his community. But because of the injustices that he saw and faced, as well as shared with his fellow Manongs and workers, he essentially took the step up to become a labor leader and advocate for the needs of his fellow Filipinos.
Yeah, and that brings me to the Delano Grape Strike. It's one of the few civil rights events that's taught in schools. Cesar Chavez is often portrayed as the leader of this organization, but can you explain Larry Itliong's role in the strike and why this part of the story is often left out?
Yeah, so the Delano Grape Strike was initiated by AWOC, which is the farm workers union that the Filipinos consolidated against. And it wasn't until the Filipinos, specifically Larry, reaching out to Cesar Chavez and the Mexican farm workers union to come together and advocate for farm workers' rights across the board, regardless of being Filipino or being Mexican, did the United Farm Workers Union materialize to really advocate for all farm workers and unionizing in California and throughout the rest of the nation.
Given that Larry Itliong played a vital role in the United Farm Workers in the formation and the early years, what did he do for UFW during, you know, its inception, and what internal tensions led to his departure?
Yeah, so Larry and the Filipinos, recognizing the larger population of Mexican workers, saw that Cesar Chavez and the Mexican workers would have a larger say and larger presence in the movement. And so Larry ended up taking an assistant director position below Cesar Chavez, but still led a lot of the grassroots movements on the ground and really advocated for that.
What would you like people to know about Larry Itliong's contribution to a labor movement that we tie to Cesar Chavez and Dolores Huerta, but he played a vital role as well?
Yeah. So as much as Larry is the face of the Filipino American movement, right, he also did in collaboration with a larger group of Filipino organizers such as Philip Veracruz, Pete Velasco, and Chris Monsalves. And it's really attributes to his community-oriented organizing and really advocating for those folks while working with those folks.
You know, given that just this year, UFW marched, they went on a pilgrimage to Delano near Bakersfield to Sacramento. It was like 330-plus miles in August to pressure Governor Newsom to sign an assembly bill to change voting for unionizing farm workers. What do you think Larry Itliong and the other Filipino activists in the labor movement, what do you think they would say about the current state of the UFW and the work being done?
I think they'd be supportive of the continued efforts, right? The legacies that the UFW is still continuing to this day, the fact that they're still advocating for farm workers and union rights to this day. And yeah, I think they'd be proud of the work that's continuing.
Yeah. And what I'm hearing is that we're learning about a neglected piece of history, which I would imagine that led to the formation of the Bulosan Center at UC Davis, which is the only one of its kind across the UCs in the state.
Mm-hmm. Yes, like you mentioned, it's a neglected and often forgotten history of Filipino Americans. There is an historical amnesia when it comes to Filipino Americans just because of the ambiguity of the Filipino American identity and as well as their inclusion to larger, more broader movements such as the farm workers movements with Mexicans as well as the Asian American movement in the 70s.
When I go back to the beginning of the migration of Filipino Americans to the Central Valley, Stockton has a large Filipino community. There's a designated Little Manila neighborhood. How did that come about? What happened to this neighborhood?
Yeah, so that was actually initiated by an organization called Little Manila Rising, and it's it's part of a wider group, a wider organizing effort to really recognize the kind of concentrated ethnic enclaves that Filipinos concentrated at to recognize these different places. So like you mentioned, we have Little Manila Town in Stockton. We also have historic Filipino Town in L.A. And it's really to try to establish the physical presence of Filipino Americans here in the States, as well as to kind of highlight the contributions and tracking the movements of Filipino Americans here in California.
Yeah, this is coming at a time, especially in recent years, there's a progress in the representation of Filipino Americans. We have California Attorney General Rob Bonta, who says he grew up in a labor household. Former California Supreme Court Chief Justice Tani Gore Cantil-Sacaulle. And in entertainment, household names like comedian Joy Coy, our managing editor is a fan of Joe Coy. These are among a wave of firsts and breaking barriers. What are your thoughts on this current representation?
Yeah, of course. Like this upcoming wave of representation is super neat to see. Because growing up, I never had any of these names to recognize. I didn't see folks who looked like me, who had the same upbringing as me, or had the same cultural background as me. And so being able to see it now is definitely beneficial, not just for myself and my generation, but for upcoming generations to be able to see folks who I've paved the way.
Yeah. For those listening to our conversation, what resources are available if someone wants to learn more about Filipino American, the experience, and also the contributions of leaders like Larry Itliong?
Yeah, of course. The best resources, if you have an Asian American studies class or a Filipino American studies class at your university, whether it be a four-year or community, that's one of the best places to go. You can also look at the Bulosan Center at UC Davis. We have resources and timelines and materials on our website. And just look up Filipino American books.
Manny, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Nice to see you. Manny De Leon is a Filipino-American scholar with the Bulosan Center for Filipino Studies at UC Davis. That is it for Insight today. You can learn more about our guests at capradio.org/insight. You can also subscribe to the Insight podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. If you want to join the conversation, email us, insight@capradio.org. Thank you to producers Nick Dobis and Victor Corral Martinez, with managing editor Aram Sarkissian. Our digital producer is Megan Minata. Insight's technical director and engineer is Mark Jones. I'm Vicky Gonzalez. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day. We'll catch you back here tomorrow.